Four-man rush. Fields has time. Launches downfield. It's Olave. He's got a touchdown, Ohio State. A deep strike, and the Buckeyes stretch the lead again. 56 yards. Wow.
Because of the day when they say we are, we say we are the Buckeyes.
The handoff by Hoynes to George in a foot race, and he gets away. George is gone. Eddie George putting up more Heisman Trophy numbers.
Offensive line gives Troy plenty of time. Goes deep, Gens wide open. Wide open, folks. Touchdown. Here we go. Get out the adding machine. We're underway.
It has to stop being average. It begins to be elite when you can cross the line. Today is that kind of day.
Warden Schlager to the sideline, caught. First down.
Woo! What a hit. Denzel Ward. You got barbecue back there? And you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Don't let that team stand in the way. No way!
Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks!
Hello, and welcome back to a big-time episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with my buddy Big Cass, and man, Cass, it feels great being 1-0. I'm actually kind of shocked we moved up to number 3 in the AP poll. I was not expecting that after Thursday night. I thought they were really going to stiff us, but I want to, you know, really thank Tulane for keeping it close against Oklahoma, and it feels good. We rose up, and you know what? We're 1-0, and we got a big game this Saturday.
Yeah, I'm pretty pleased. I was throwing some F-bombs that I usually don't throw during the second quarter. But I think once all the freshmen settled down, we all played a pretty good game. My heart does go out to Ibrahim as he had a nasty Achilles injury. Hopefully he's up and running, gets back up and running as soon as possible, because he's one of the best backs in America, and you hate to see that.
Yeah.
But that being said, it was a great, solid win. I think we did cover the spread. I don't know.
It depends on which one you took. Yeah.
Yeah. It depends on what website. But a 14-point victory on the road, new freshman DBs, freshman quarterback, bad weather. Gotta take it. I mean, it's fantastic.
I think we grew a lot from this game. It was a tough, because we learned a lot about this team. The freshmen, they're fighters. I'll give them a lot of credit. Like, it was not perfect. There's a lot of things to clean up. But you, I mean, you don't expect your guys to play the best football week one on a road on the road away. Wait, night game in the rain.
We, as a Bunch of Nuts podcast, don't expect everything to be 100%.
Yes, because we're rational. Fact.
80% of Buckeye fans, on the other hand, are not rational.
Yes. We are usually the nuts, but yes, Twitter was absolutely insane. The first half, I felt so bad for CJ Stroud. I wanted to really just
Facebook, like, by the way, too.
Yeah, Facebook. Social media was ripping poor CJ Stroud. And I'm not going to lie, he was a little shaky at times in the beginning.
And he even admitted it.
He admitted it, but like this was expected. We didn't expect CJ Stroud to come in and throw for 400 yards, 2 incompletions, no picks. The interception that he threw, that was, you know, a terrible ball to Olave, that you got to clean up. There's no excuse for that one. But other than that, I thought his deep balls were pretty. He really got some air under it, and I was really shocked about his arm strength. When I saw his first deep ball, and he overthrew Olave, I believe, on that play. It was like
he overthrew Garrett Wilson on the first one, and then his second one was Olave, and both of them were touchdowns.
True. Yes. The first one's Garrett Wilson. I was thinking the one he overthrew to Olave, That throw, and it wasn't complete, but it reminded me of the same throw Justin Fields made in the Sugar Bowl to Olave. It had that same air, same distance. It's the one thing, though, you got to realize is, which I hate on TV, is when the announcers are like, oh, the quarterback missed him. The quarterback missed him too deep. But quarterbacks are trained. If you're going to miss, you miss deep. You have to miss deep. That's a good ball. The receiver has to get there. It's like receivers are taught, you got to get there. If it's, you know, arm's length away, that's on you, because that's a good ball. If you miss deep, Ohio State can live with that, because they can, you know, it's not going to be a turnover. So I thought Stroud played good.
Yeah, and I love the fact that Ryan Day gave him his confidence, because Ryan Day kept throwing everything out at him, kept throwing every situation. C.J. Stroud of the first half wouldn't have made that screen pass to Travion Henderson. I mean, the blocking, the all-around play, the blocking by Olave and Rucker, and then the speed and explosion of Travion Henderson on that play. That right there was outside of the strip sack, was the play of the game. But all in all, I was really pleased with Stroud. They said this on the Buckeye Show today on 97.1. Tim Hall said in the second half, C.J. Stroud averaged 47 yards of reception.
Yeah, it was filthy what he did in the second. I believe he threw four straight touchdown passes or some. It was some ridiculous stat.
He completed five passes in the second half, four of them touchdowns.
Yeah, it was something absolutely ridiculous he did in the second half. And I wanted, but even before that, you got to give credit. We love the offensive line here. That was probably one of the best games I've seen out of an Ohio State offensive line unit. And I'm being completely serious. They gave Stroud great protection. They allowed him to kind of get his nerves under him. They established the run game. The run game was awesome.
Averaging 7 yards a pop.
He was not sacked. He was hurried only twice. And Minnesota only recorded one tackle for a loss. That's a great debut for the offensive line. So I'm happy with, you know, our big guys up front.
I'm happy with the overall offensive performance. I mean, outside of the first half, second quarter, because Stroud made some good, comfortable throws in the first quarter. Second quarter, he was really, really rough. And then third and fourth, he was just outstanding.
Yeah.
But I think overall I'll give it a B+, just because the second quarter. But the offensive line was phenomenal. I mean, you got three running backs that averaged over 5 yards a carry, almost four running backs. So it's going to be interesting. Defensive side of the ball, there's a lot to remain to be seen, but we've shown a lot of flashes. I mean, people are acting like Tanner Morgan went off.
No.
And he really didn't. I think he just barely completed 50% of his passes. Am I correct?
Yeah, 14 for 25. It's a little over 50, I believe, eyeballing the math right there. Because, it's probably around 56, I would say, percent. Let me do the math.
Only like 200 and some.
56%. Your boy still got it.
200 and some yards passing.
Yeah, I mean, and in my book, he threw a pick. It got called back on that ridiculous Dallas Gant.
Oh, my Lord.
That was not roughing the pass. I mean, I guess because he touched him, but that's not roughing the pass.
I will say this, and Joel Klatt summed it up pretty well. Defensive line played well. They got pressure on Tanner Morgan, but they only finished twice.
Yes.
With the Cody Simon sack and Zach Harrison strip sack.
Cody Simon played great. I'm a big Cody Simon guy after that game. I think he needs to be – he has to start.
After I get through the defensive line, I have to vent a little bit about our linebackers. And you probably know why. But I thought Haskell Garrett Harrison was all over the field.
Yeah.
Zach Harrison in the run game was phenomenal. Tyreek Smith made some plays. The defensive line was just – I thought the defensive line was pretty good. It was that second level. And most of the big runs in the game by Ibrahim was when Tommy Eichenberg
– And Gant.
And when Tommy Eichenberg was on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Eichenberg is, like you said, tough Borland 2.0. I am sorry. He may be a great leader and a tough kid, but get his ass off the field. He is so slow.
He is. He was slow.
I mean, it was awful. Every big run, I went back and watched this game again. Every big time run that Ibrahim had, Eichenberg was on the field.
Yeah. He was not doing a good job of clogging holes. The role he's supposed to play is he's supposed to basically stuff the run. He's supposed to basically he's supposed to be like kind of like an Anthony Schlegel, tough bowling guy. Like your helmet needs to be in some guy's chest every play. And I thought Cody Simon did a lot better job. I know Cody Simon going into the game was a little banged up. I believe he was hurt, some reports I read. So that's why I guess he didn't start. But also Haskell Garrett didn't start. They put Teron Vincent in over him. I thought that was a little odd. They did a lot of odd things with substitutions this week. And I know it's game one, so you gotta play everyone, feel some guys out. There's still battles to be won. But from what I saw, Cody Simon and Taraja, that's the two guys you have to have on the field.
That is the two guys.
And then I really did like, though, they're finding ways to play Hickman at basically – Hickman's a linebacker.
He led the team in tackles.
He did. Hickman's basically our cover linebacker, but that's fine. I'm a little worried if teams will run in his direction, but because he's a little undersized, but I'm not worried about him covering guys. And I liked how we also got Hickman, Ransom, and Proctor all on the field at the same time with Simon and Taraja. I think that combo right there is pretty good because Taraja and Simon, they're your run stuffers. They're going to put their head down, hit people. And then basically Hickman and Ransom, they're almost like bullets. And then Craig Young too. Ransom can obviously drop back and play safety, I think, too, in case if Proctor's hurt. Like he was, but defense is nice.
I mean, we did not have Cam Brown or Seven Banks. No. Seven Banks was a game time decision. You started two true freshmen out there, and I like Denzel Burke. He's a fighter. That's a lot of people are like, oh, he passed interference. Okay, you will live with that with a freshman, a true freshman. You will live with that because that makes the coverage is there. You just got to tweak some things.
Yeah, he didn't turn his head. That was the big issue.
And I don't care what Buckeye fans, they're already calling for Kerry Chukwuma's job. It's been one freaking game. Let's get our seniors back this week. Let's get our seniors back, see how they do, and then we'll be just fine. Because, by the way, that's going to be the best running back we see all year.
This weekend we're going to see a good running back. We'll get into that, though. But
he's not as good as Ibrahim.
No. I agree, though, like with cleaning some things up because
– Yeah, clean some things up.
Think we had two or three pass interference penalties. I think we definitely had two. We might have had a third.
Two of them were –
We didn't turn our head. Like Craig Young, turn your head. You're right there. He like wrapped him up. He was too fast. He wrapped him up there. The other one with Denzel Burke, that – people were like, oh, it's not pass interference. No, that was literally what happened in the national championship when Miami, we got the call against Miami. It's the same play. It was pass interference, but Denzel Burke cleans up his technique. I think he will be a stud. I had no problem with the effort we got from the
team. There was a lot of second chance penalties that Minnesota was handed. The roughing the passer, and I believe there was a PI that was so stupid. Like it was a great play on the ball. I just can't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
Two of the three PIs. Yeah. Pass interference. But there was one that extended the drive that where Minnesota's both times where they extended the drive, they scored touchdowns. You take the roughing the passer away. It's an interception. You take that one PI away, Minnesota's punting the ball, and that's two touchdowns taken off the board, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Some other unsung heroes on the defense. I just want to touch on real quick. Cass, Antoine Jackson, five tackles in the game, tackle for loss. I thought he played pretty well in his role. I mean, that's what you got to have from your other defensive tackle. I thought Bryson Shaw, man, he had a couple nice tackles.
He chased down. He had a great pursuit angle in that touchdown saving tackle in that fourth and one.
Isn't it crazy that Bryson Shaw takes better angles in his first, like, first real major action than watching Isaiah Pryor, who's been, feels like he's been in college for years, former Buckeye, now Notre Dame. He takes better angles than Isaiah Pryor. It just blows my mind.
It's the big cast curse, man.
It's the big cast curse, yes. Yeah. Explain that to the people, because that's the funniest thing.
So in 2018, I went to the Blackwell Hotel, and that's where I met the infamous Tennessee Jeff. And I got to meet some players. Right before the walk, players were loading up their bus of their belongings to have it taken back to the Woody. I ran into Tate Martell and Isaiah Pryor. Well, little did we know, by the end of that season, both of them would no longer be wearing the scarlet and gray. And the rest is history.
And you got Isaiah Pryor, with both of them.
Yeah, got pictures with both of them. Isaiah Pryor is taking bad pursuit angles for Notre Dame. And Tate Martell is not even on the depth chart for UNLV.
Yeah, so the moral of the story is we need to send you down south to some SEC programs. You're going to need to take some pictures with their big guys, their big studs. Like, go take a picture with Bryce Young. Go take a picture with JT Daniels. And I think we got something here.
But anyway, going back to the Ohio State game. Yeah. Special teams, I was happy. You could tell that Travion Henderson wanted one of those punt returns. I mean, kickoff returns.
Yeah.
The Garrett Wilson stupid no call, that was dumb.
It's and a lot of people are debating this on Twitter. It's the whole argument is, all right, my argument was kick catch interference, because it looked close enough where it could be kick catch interference. Other people are saying no, it's not that, he was faking the block, but the rule states that you
still
cannot
give him room to catch the ball.
Yes. Well, one, yes. Two, you cannot hit him while the ball is in the air. That if the ball has not hit the ground yet, you cannot hit the returner. That is literally a rule. And they still did that. And three, the guy really kind of led with the crown of his helmet. Like, I'm not going to lie, I thought that was more targeting than the definitely more than the Taraja Mitchell play. The Lathan Ransom play, a lot of people are furious about, but I don't think that was targeting.
Lathan Ransom?
Yeah.
Wasn't targeting.
No, he led with his arms too. Like,
and you know what's funny? You know what's funny is I love Gus and Joel, Gus and Joel Clapp, but they were looking at that review for targeting, and the referees were looking at it as the fumble. That's what was hysterical.
Gus didn't think it was targeting. Joel was the one who was big on the targeting there.
And Mike Pereira was there all there. They're sitting there talking targeting. And then all of a sudden, the referee comes out. The runner had possession of the ball. It is a fumble pick recovered by Ohio State. And I love Joel Klatt, and, you know, but that was a bad misjudgment by Joel. I mean, I get why he was probably talking about targeting, but it wasn't targeting. Lathan Ransom just laid the wood.
Yeah, it was a great hit. And our boy Tommy Eichenberg, he did recover the fumble, so he did have a good play. I'll give him credit there.
I really hope that he proves me wrong, though. I really do. I hope nothing but the best for Tommy Eichenberg, but he really made me mad over the weekend.
I expected more. I'm not going to lie. I left watching that game with I was very dissatisfied. I mean, I agree with that, Cass. And then I guess one more thing, the Steel Chambers experiment at linebacker, not terrible. Didn't think it was bad. I just thought it was very odd, though, they were rotating him in the fourth. Like, we saw the majority of his action in the fourth quarter when it was kind of close. Minnesota was driving, it was kind of close. I thought it was an odd time to kind of experiment with a running back turned linebacker. But that's why I don't get paid the big bucks, and Ryan Day does.
Yeah, absolutely. So, overall grade for the defense, I'm going to give him a B just to get things cleaned up.
Yeah.
But if Ibrahim doesn't go down, Minnesota is challenging Iowa in the West.
Yeah, I agree.
After watching these games this weekend, I'm not sold on Wisconsin. Yes, Penn State's defense is good, and so is Wisconsin's defense, but their offenses are atrocious. I'm sorry.
Like, I do, it's, I agree, and I do think Minnesota with Ibrahim would have been a very good team in the West. Might have honestly won the division. I'm not sure.
I think Iowa runs away with it now.
Yeah, it's going to be probably Iowa and then Wisconsin. Minnesota, I think, still will finish probably around third. I think I'm fairly confident to say that after seeing Nebraska and Illinois. You know, Illinois lost next week. That's crazy. And then
– hey, Nebraska beat Fordham. Come on.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel confident saying
they're Minnesota talking will, Nebraska could get upset this week by Buffalo.
Well, maybe. But we got to talk about the running attack. We already talked about Stroud. We'll talk about the receivers soon, but the running attack. Mayan Williams is a stud, man. I love Mayan. He reminds me kind of a Beanie Wells a little bit, honestly, after watching that game.
Mayan Williams reminds me of Carlos Hyde.
That too. Like a combination of Beanie Wells, Carlos Hyde. Those are the two guys.
A little
guys
bit more shiftier than them both, though.
Yes. Yes. I agree. Yeah. 100% agree there. Travion, everything is advertised.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how did he only get – I believe he only got three offensive touches, which is – yeah, three offensive touches, and then he returned a kick return for 19 yards. So he got four
– keep in mind, we only had the ball for over 20 minutes. That's about it.
Four touches in the game. They got to pump those numbers up. Master Teague, I know people were kind of ripping on him. I feel bad. I feel like I ripped on him too a little bit. He wasn't terrible. It's just when you see what Mayan and Travion were doing, I don't want to see Master T getting more than five carries a game. Five to seven carries is my cap on him right now.
Here's the thing. We only had the ball for a little over 20 minutes.
Yeah, because we scored. So we were scoring such big plays.
We scored 45 points in 20 minutes, basically.
True.
Sure.
We were efficient and we were scoring on big plays. So you were absolutely right there. And Marcus Crowley, I think – so Ryan Day said they're going to shorten the running back rotation.
I think it's a two.
I think – well, Marcus Crowley had the second – he was tied for second most carries, six carries, 19 yards. I think –
well, that was garbage time.
Yeah, I think he's going to be axed out of the –
I even think Master Teague will.
I mean, I didn't hate Master Teague getting – he should get – about five carries a game. You still got to give him the ball. He's good at pass blocking. He's going to see the field. But Master Teague should not have more touches than Travion Henderson or Mayan Williams. That's all I got to say.
You're right. And I think that we'll be just fine. I think our running game is good. And we're not going to have any issues.
No, I mean, I feel great about this running game. Our receiving core, too. Pretty good.
Enough said. There's nothing you really can say.
It's just – I just want to see – I got Olave, Garrett, Wilson, great job as always. Rucker, you know, not a greedy guy. One catch, like 15 yards, but did a great job blocking. Rucker will get his. I'm not worried about that. I would like to see the third receiver step up. JSN, two catches on the night. He looked like, you know, solid, but – I need to see more. I need a third guy. I need Fleming. Where's Fleming? Where's, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr.? Where's Emeka Abuka? Like we need these. I want to see some other guys, you know, step up, because God forbid, let's say Garrett or Chris go down. Like we might be in trouble then. We need some other guys to step up too.
Yeah, you're right. But again, we had the ball for just a little over 20 minutes, so it's gonna be hard to spread the ball. This offense is so lethal. I don't see many defenses stopping it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, bro. Like, you're so right about the time of possession. That's such a big thing.
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, that's. I think that's all I really got to say about Minnesota. Any final thoughts on Minnesota?
No.
Better luck next time.
They are who we thought they were.
Moving on, I guess, from Minnesota, before we touch on the Oregon game, big game Saturday, in case you heard, Ohio State released their men's basketball schedule today. I'm going to quickly run down this. Cass, I have it right up in front of me.
Yeah, I do too.
We start on November 1st. We have that, you know, that weird exhibition game against Indianapolis.
Where tickets are $2.
Yeah, against Indianapolis. Doesn't count. Then we play Akron, Niagara, Bowling Green. Should all be wins, I would assume. And then it gets a little interesting. We go to Xavier. We go to Cincinnati to play Xavier.
That Thursday. Game, I think, is at the old U.S. Bank Arena, which is next to the Great American.
Yes. Park. Yeah, it's really cool. Then we play Seton Hall and Cal or Florida, depending on how that goes. That's a tournament game.
Like, yeah, the Bowling Green game is the opening of that Fort Myers tip-off, mm-hmm. and then which is in Columbus. And then we play Seton Hall, and then – we either win or lose. If we win or lose, we'll play Florida or Cal.
The one I'm really excited about, Tuesday, November 30th, we play Duke at the SHOT Coach K's farewell tour.
Which they're saying it might be 10 years to the day from the last time we played Duke. But that's what they're saying on the radio, yeah. But I don't know how true that is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a game I got to go to for sure. I got to absolutely – boo Coach K and just give him a hard time. But then after that,
the weekend before we play Michigan?
After. It's the 30th.
It's the Big Ten Championship.
Yeah, it's right after Thanksgiving. And then that next Sunday, we're at Penn State. Then we play Towson, Wisconsin at home. Kentucky, we play in Las Vegas the next Saturday. Then we play Tennessee Martin in New Orleans at home, back-to-back. Should be, you know, nice, easy wins.
And then we get into beef for the Big Ten.
And then this is where we get into the beef. We go in January, play Nebraska, at Indiana.
You don't have to go down the whole thing.
Yeah, it's
– we do, however, play Michigan twice this year. Mm-hmm. We play Minnesota twice.
Indiana looks like twice.
Michigan State once. Maryland once. No, twice. Iowa once. Purdue once. Penn State once. Unless I'm overlooking.
No, you're good. No, Penn State we play.
Twice. Okay, yeah.
Twice, yes.
Because we play them the opener.
Yeah, we always play Penn State twice. Yeah. I like this. I like that we play Michigan twice. Finally,
play them at the final game of the season.
I love that. And then Big Ten tournament, you know, second week of March. Exciting, very exciting. It should be a good season for the team, but it's not basketball season quite yet. You know, we don't start talking about that till probably January, till after the Buckeyes are done. But nice schedule. A lot of chances, I think, for the Buckeyes to win some ranked games. And there's also – it's a good mixture of cupcakes, I would say. A lot of these teams we play aren't good, but then we go from playing, you know, easy teams we should beat to playing good teams like Duke and Michigan twice. So in Xavier, like we have – I think it's a good schedule. I got no complaints about it. And who is that?
Breaking news.
Oh, okay.
Goes right into our segment.
Yep.
So breaking news. Let me break this. Yep. Oregon to wear all white uniforms with green trim this weekend.
One of their 500 uniform combinations, and they're going all white.
At least they're wearing green this time instead of gray like they did in the national championship
game. It was such an ugly uniform.
Yes. Oregon wearing their all white with orange with green trim.
I'm not too concerned. I don't think that's going to save them this week. But man, all right, let's get into it.
That's a good segue, man. Yeah, let's go.
Let's get into it. This is the meat and potatoes of this episode. I am psyched. You're working the game, obviously. Big noon kickoff.
Right and early tomorrow.
Your boy bought his tickets. It's on Saturday, got ADEC tickets, $135 each. Not bad considering CDEC tickets are going for $160 a pop right now, and people are freaking out about the ticket prices.
Hold on. I heard the prices went down. I'm going to check real quick. But keep talking.
It's been, the ticket fiasco has probably been the the leading news story today.
Why don't you vent about what was on Channel 4 tonight?
Oh my gosh, yeah. So they're going on and on, and it was mainly the, you know, ABC, I believe it's ABC 6 doing
I thought it was Channel 4.
It's been all the news outlets. 11 Warriors has even reported it. But 11 Warriors isn't like sensationalizing it. They're just reporting the facts. But it's basically there's 10,000 tickets still available for the game. But the issue is, you know, everyone's trying to make it out to be, oh, it's COVID. People are afraid to go to the game. Not so fast, my friend. And it's not because it's a noon game. It's not that either. It's because the tickets are so absurdly overpriced. It's really bad this year. And I know
it's not overly priced. I'm looking right at it.
They dropped. Yeah, they dropped. Well, $116 now. So yeah, exactly. Because the face value, dude, and when they, I believe in June when I was looking at it, they're like around $250-$300 a pop for these tickets. And now this week they dropped down a couple hundred, like not a hundred, like $100. Still very, very high.
It's under 10,000 now.
Yeah, it's under 10,000 available. But it's the reason why they weren't going, just because they're so absurdly overpriced. I don't think people are afraid to go to the game because of COVID. Because they're doing polls, and it's like, why are you not going to the Ohio State game?
Let me, 80% of it
was ticket prices.
Let me say this. Back in 2005, right before they did more reconstruction of the stadium, it was 102,000. They were trying to get it up to 105,000. CDEC tickets were going for 200 a piece for the Texas game. Keep in mind, 2005. In 2005, it was number two Ohio State versus number three Texas. No, number two Texas versus number three Ohio State.
Yeah, and Texas at the time was, you know, that was the team to go see.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, Penn State tickets are going to be about the same because it's senior. Oh no, Michigan State's senior day. I'm sorry, but Penn State's the marquee matchup. But yes, by the time we play Penn State and the way their schedule looks, they might only have one loss or be undefeated. So
yeah, that's going to be a good game. We all know that's shaping up to be the showdown.
Tickets aren't that bad, honestly.
They're not bad. The issue is, though, times are tough for a lot of people right now financially. You know, the eviction moratorium, and I'm not trying to get political here, the eviction moratorium just up. You know, COVID has a lot of people out of jobs. It's not that people, I don't think, are afraid to go to the games. I think it's just people really can't afford, unfortunately, $160 tickets. When we played Oklahoma, I got my ticket for about, I believe it was $120, $125-ish. At home, which I was a college student, well, right out of college, so I had extra money, so I was willing to splurge a little, and I thought that was a little expensive, but it just, the ticket prices were a little ridiculous to start. I think Ohio State really tried to gouge us early on. The ticket prices have literally been slashed in half, and there's still tickets available because I think they really overpriced us to see. It's really, you know, kind of – because they have a giant budget deficit right now. I think they really overpriced this to try to get some money back in their pockets. That's my theory. I don't know. That's what I just got from looking at it and just monitoring the ticket prices since June. But I do think people are going to show up to the show. I think we'll have a sellout. It's – It's
supposed to be really nice.
Yeah, it's going to be. And it's not because it's a noon game. People are saying, oh, it's because it's a noon game. That's such a lie. It's the first game of the season. The first game of the season, I feel like with Ohio State, it's always a noon game anyway, too. Even if it's not a big opponent. Noon has nothing to do with it. COVID, I think, is a minimal factor at this point. Because if you did a pie chart or like, what is it, the overlapping chart, I think the majority of Ohio State fans – that like love football, don't really even care about COVID. How are you going to tell a guy like Tennessee Jeff? Like, how are you going to convince a guy, a crazy fan like Tennessee
or
Jeff
us.
Or us to like stay home and hide after not being able to go to the shoe at all last year? I would like literally if the Taliban were running security at the shoe, I'm still going. Like there's no way I'm not going to the shoe unless Kevin Warren bans me. That's literally it, which he did, obviously. So I'm excited to be there Saturday, man. And we got a good matchup we got to talk about. But end rant.
Yeah, we do have a great matchup. But the problem with the matchup is Oregon looked very lackluster last week against Fresno State. And I don't think Ohio State will have a problem with them. But it's also they're going to wear their all-white uniforms. I get that. But they could be out with their best two defenders, and that's going to hurt.
Yes. So, obviously, everyone knows Kayvon Thibodeau, questionable with that ankle injury. That looked a little nasty. Cristobal said if he doesn't practice, he's not going to play.
He hasn't practiced yet.
And, yeah, he had – exactly, Cass. And so – and it's getting late in the week. It's Thursday, and they got to travel Friday, obviously, because the game for them is like 9 a.m. kickoff. Their bodies are gonna. It's a 9 a.m. kickoff for them, so that's gonna be a rough travel to the east. So we'll see how that goes. But then I'm also hearing rumors. I believe Buckeye Edits actually kind of reported this. I'm not sure where he got his sources. Well, he was basically saying he's hearing rumors, and I trust Buckeye Edits. The guy's a legend, great dude. Wouldn't put anything like random like this out there, but he's hearing that Justin Flo, 5-star starting linebacker for Oregon, might have broken his foot. So he might be out for an extended period of time. That's not confirmed, but it's something to keep your eye on. But the Oregon does get back the two guys who were shooting people with airsoft guns, and they were projected starters. They're getting back James Hill, what's his name? DJ James and Jamal, cornerback DJ James and Jamal Hill, safety Jamal Hill, both flashed last year. Both are expected to start. I don't know if they're going to start, though, because they might be in Cristobal's doghouse, but it's good depth for Oregon for sure. So they'll be getting those two guys back. They still have Sewell. Penei Sewell's little brother, Sewell at linebacker. He's a beast. He has definitely popped up on the stat chart. It's Noah Sewell. So, I mean, Oregon still has some players, but it's going to be tough for them.
Yeah, it's going to be very tough. I mean, the quarterback can run. He carried the ball 19 times. He might be their biggest threat in the running game. Their biggest threat is going to be running the football. And
linebackers got to come to play.
Yeah, linebackers do have to come to play. But one of the strengths of this defense is, yeah, we gave up 193 yards rushing last week. But really, we still held the – yeah, it took 40-some carries to get 193 yards. Yeah. So, I mean – Ohio State's defense is good at stopping a run, and it's going to help their passing game. I don't think Oregon's got a strong enough passing game to beat Ohio State. I really don't. But their thing is if they don't have their top linebacker and their top defensive end, they're not stopping Mayan Williams and company, and they're not stopping C.J. Stroud's arm. Because, one, Chris Olave's favorite college football team was Oregon.
Yeah, and they didn't even recruit him. They didn't even offer him.
They didn't even recruit him. Yeah, so he's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder.
Absolutely, yeah. It's crazy to think that they didn't even recruit him. And they could use Chris Olave. Their best receiver right now is Johnny Johnson, senior. Scored a touchdown last week. Micah Pittman's also their other guy. He plays their H position. Troy Franklin, he's a freshman. He didn't even record a reception last game, but he's their third receiver. Their running back, though, C.J. Verdell – and Travis Dye. Travis Dye's not bad, but C.J. Verdell, I know you said obviously Mo Ibrahim, you know, he's probably the best back we'll face. Well, I would say C.J. Verdell might honestly be the second best back we face because he is also no schlub. He is a, you know, real good hard runner and does a lot of things well, Cass. He's experienced. He's definitely one guy that could hurt us. It's really him, and then if – their quarterback, Anthony Brown, which I'm shocked. I'm not shocked because he is, you know, he has the experience. I'm shocked they're not playing Ty Thompson over him because Ty Thompson was a 5-star, highly recruited guy. I'm shocked that Anthony Brown's playing over Ty Thompson. But like you said, Anthony Brown, good runner. He did win the game last week with his legs. So what worries me is if they do a lot of like read option stuff, that's the only thing that really concerns me about Oregon. If they just really start gouging us in the run game, you know, Burdell.
I think Ohio State's linebackers are smart enough, especially to be able to read those options.
Yeah.
Sorry, I yawned.
It's all good.
I've been up since 3:30. So
yeah.
But yeah, like I don't see Ohio State having a problem, but it is Oregon. They are top 15 team in the country for a reason. My biggest issue with Oregon is they got to come to the shoe first time with fans in the stands, whether there's 95,000 or 100,000. I think there'll be 100,000. That's just my opinion. And
it's going to be rowdy.
The band will be back. Seven Nation Army will be blaring. Script Ohio will be back. Hang on Sleepy in the fourth quarter. 9 a.m. kickoff for Oregon. It just seems doomsday for them.
I mean, it seems like an uphill battle for these guys. It really does. And Ohio State is actually a 13.5 point favorite again. Same spread, basically same spread as last week, depending on who you bet it with. People have been predicting Ohio State's going to put up a lot of points. I don't see Ohio State scoring less than 40 in this one, unless Thibodeau plays in flow play.
And even if Thibodeau does play, he's not going to be 100%.
And you know what's out too? People are really hyping up Thibodeau. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure he's a great player. But I think we lost Cass right there. Let me get him back in here. Hold on, let me put this on pause. All right, we're back. We got Cass back. He froze. Computer knocked him out. He's good though. But like I was saying, so obviously like Kayvon Thibodeau, they compare him to Chase Young. He's supposed to be this, you know, generational talent. I'm not putting it past him. However, all these guys saying he's Chase Young, you guys forget. We literally, our offensive line literally went against Chase Young every day. All these starters now literally dealt with Chase Young every day in practice. So I don't think they're going to be too worried about even if Kayvon Thibodeau was at full percent, I don't think we'd be too worried. And honestly, I think our guys can handle him. I think they haven't seen an offensive line like ours. Like how is Kayvon Thibodeau going to handle Thayer Mumford? How is he going to handle Nicholas NPF? How is he going to handle DeJuan Jones? Like who's just massive. It's going to be a tough battle. Even if he does play, Ohio State's not going to need to triple team him like some teams or triple team.
And this is where I said off the air, if I'm Mario Cristobal, and I'm not saying this because I don't want him to play, but for player safety against this good offensive line, when you still have a shot to win the Pac-12, and if you lose a close game to an Ohio State, and the way Clemson's schedule is setting up for him,
yeah,
this sets up great for Oregon. Even if they lose to Ohio State, if it's a close game to Ohio State, Save your guy for the Pac-12 because I do, however, think that USC and UCLA are on the rise. I know you didn't get much help out of Washington, but Utah's pretty good. USC and UCLA are pretty good. That could help you because how Miami and
Clemson and Florida,
North Carolina. No, how Miami, North Carolina are still ranked is beyond me. And that's just, I think, help beef up Clemson's schedule, even though they don't play them. But Virginia Tech looks like the only team that's liable, that's that good against Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, that's a week. I think that's a week one kind of. I wouldn't say they're good enough to compete with Clemson, but right now they're the only threat, literally on paper, the only team that I think won in the ACC. I agree with you there, man. Like I was saying too off air, even if you lose to Ohio State week two without your best player, and let's say they bring in Ty Thompson too, let's say the Anthony Brown experiment, they axe in a few weeks, and they bring in their five-star guy ready. Like, the committee will, I think, look on that kind of favorably towards Oregon if they start, you know, they run through the Pac-12, win the Pac-12, only losses Ohio State on the road without starting their five-star quarterback and their best player.
It would have to be a close loss.
It will be. Yeah, they would have to keep it probably within 10, I think, for this to be like a scenario. It's a really kind of out there scenario. Obviously, Oregon isn't coming, you know, they're not coming into the Eastern time zone to lose. They're coming here with bad intentions. They're coming here to upset the Bucks. As Desmond Howard and Reese Davis predicted, they're on the record saying Oregon is going to beat us this week. So I can't wait for the Buckeyes to prove them wrong there.
I wonder after their performance against Fresno State if they still feel the same.
You know what, though? All right. I got to give someone credit because I was in OSU videos. Like, I did with OSU videos, he did a Twitter what are they called? Twitter space. So like, it's like a call. Everyone kind of talks to each other. And there was someone in the call right after the game, you know, right after the Minnesota game, he held this. OSU vids held this. He said that Fresno State is not a bad team. He said he would not be shocked that game was close. This guy, I forgot who it was, but this person literally called it to a T. He said they smacked UConn, who was not very good, but from what he watched of that game, he said Fresno State's a very good team. So it might not be that Oregon wasn't bad. It might be that Fresno State might finish the season, honestly, AP top 25. It would not shock me at this point. And I know it's a really weird overreaction, but someone's on the record saying that they believe Fresno State's a good team.
Here's the thing. If Oregon is as hyped as up as everybody thinks they are, they still shouldn't have beat Fresno State by 7.
No, they shouldn't have. I agree with that. But I think Fresno State might be a sneaky good team too.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good shot. I mean, we got a lot of things going on with this game. And I'm excited for this game, obviously, for a lot of reasons. You're excited for this game, for being in the stands. Hopefully I get the chance to be in the stands for the game. I don't care if it's just for pregame. I don't even know what my job title is going to be this weekend, but I'm just going to be glad to be there.
I'm going to tear up when they do Script Ohio.
Guarantee it. Even if I'm outside the stadium, while they're doing Script Ohio, I am there. Like, I am there, and I will have tears down my eyes. I'll probably cry tomorrow when I pull up.
I'm just like so like I don't know. I sound like such a like a whip, but like it's just like I haven't been in the stadium. Since the last game I was at was the Maryland game where Chase Young was suspended. That's ages ago, it feels like. Like almost 2 years without being in the Shoe. I just can't wait to be back. It's gonna be incredible being back in the Shoe. It really is. And I think we all took it for granted. I know I did at points after I graduated. But I'll never take that for granted again. And it's going to be stepping into the Shoe for the first time in almost basically 2 years. There's going to be a lot of emotions for sure. I think the players too, that's something we're not factoring. The players are going to be very emotional with a crowd. I think they're going to be like Cody Simon. He hasn't played like some of these guys like Cody Simon, Garrett,
CJ Stroud.
Yeah. They haven't played really in front of a big Ohio State crowd. Yeah. Mayan Williams, basically all the young guys. It's going to be a fun emotional day for everyone, I think, but in a good way. Tears of joy, tears of happiness. Everyone's back. It's a celebration. And just good vibes. That's all I got to say.
For sure. I can't wait. Score prediction time. Yay. Buckeyes 45, Oregon 27.
I'm going to say Buckeyes 52.
Oof.
Oregon 17.
Wow.
Yeah, I think this is a day. because here's my logic behind it. Oregon have that they have that early wake up time. That's going to be brutal for them. They're already nicked up. They're going to be playing against an emotional Ohio State team, and then Ohio State, they're going to want to make a statement, I think, after after jumping to AP. They've had this game circled. They're going to want to make a statement because, Reese Davis and Desmond Howard, everyone talking smack about them. I think CJ Stroud's going to come out. I think he's going to ball out. I think this is going to be a game where CJ Stroud kind of enters the Heisman conversation as a dark horse. He's not there yet. He's not a September Heisman, but he's going to slowly start, drawing some really good attention to himself. And I think Ohio State is going to feed our backs the ball the correct way. Olave is going to have a big day. And they're going to somehow, they're going to integrate Rucker too. I think Rucker is going to have a touchdown or two because he always steps up in the big games. But I got Ohio State 52, Oregon 17.
45-27.
That's a reasonable score. But yeah, I think this is a game where Ohio State always seems to in the big games where you need to make a statement, they're gonna try to pour it on, I think.
For sure.
That's all I really got on that. But Cass, keys, what are your keys to the victory? Because we always gotta do our keys to the victory.
There's only one key to the victory. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the atmosphere.
I like that. I like that. I got my key to the victory is just catch Oregon sleeping. That's it. Like, catch them sleeping. Like you said, let's feed off the atmosphere. Ohio State's going to be juiced up. I think Oregon's going to be a little sleepy. And I think we got to take advantage early. Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if Ryan Day calls a trick play or an onside kick or something out of nowhere, or a fake punt. I see that happening.
Yeah, I like it.
Absolutely. So go Bucks. And as we kind of wrap up here, let's just go through the picks this week. Yes.
I was really good on my picks last week.
You were. I was not great. Speaking of our picks, make sure if you're still listening, join our Play Action Pools contest. I posted out the link yesterday. I will repost it tomorrow morning. Picks got to be in for this week by Thursday night. We're doing NFL and college picks, but I will repost the link, Play Action Pools. We're partnering them, 18-week season. It's a weekly contest. Join that. But Cass, not a great college football week, like I said, pregame.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it. I did pretty well last week. I predicted Virginia Tech. Predicted UCLA. I didn't do well with the Miami. I thought that game would be closer, but obviously,
I did not fall into that trap.
No, you did not. I predicted Florida State to win, but they didn't.
Yeah, no, I had that too. But that's like all right. The fact that we were that close. And they went into overtime. I give ourselves a pat on the back because we could. You could be a coward and just go with the ranked team, but we put it on the table.
So let's go this week.
Not great, but
not great at all.
We're not going to do a lot of these games this week because I'm going to be completely honest. This might be the worst week of the year, other than outside our game. Obviously, we have the Buckeyes. Cass, what game looks appetizing to you? Because this – oh, Iowa State.
Matt Campbell's not ever beat Iowa.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it's in Iowa State, Ames, Iowa. That's where College Game Day – by the way, if you're not going to the game Saturday, still turn it in, 10 o'clock, the big new kickoff. Mm-hmm. Let's show ESPN – why they should have chose Columbus over Ames, Iowa, and go to Fox, watch Fox. I know I'm saying this because I work for Fox, but go to Fox, watch Big Noon Kickoff. Just look over Bob Stoops and his weird it's just weird seeing Bob Stoops up there.
It is. Yeah. He's not very good, but it's – I don't watch for Bob Stoops.
Right. But that being said, game day's in Ames, Iowa. I think Matt Campbell – I don't want to pick against the Big Ten, but I think Matt Campbell finally gets it done and beats Iowa.
Okay, interesting pick, Cass. Well, real quick, I just want to say about Big Noon Kickoff. Watch Big Noon Kickoff. You don't have to listen to Desmond Howard. That's one reason to just – there you go.
Reggie Bush is so much better.
Oh, absolutely. I love Reggie. Brady Quinn, Matt Leinart, the best. But tune into Big Noon Kickoff. I'm going to try to be there. You might see me on TV. But Iowa, Iowa State. This is a tough one, Cass. Iowa State has the better offense for sure. I think Iowa has the better defense.
Iowa might be the most complete team out of the two.
Yeah. That's Iowa State has the two better. I think, like, obviously Breece Hall and
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy. Yeah, they're monsters. But this game, the over under is 46. It's going to be like this is literally going to be a Big Ten game. It's Iowa State's not in the Big Ten, but it's going to be a Big Ten game. It's going to be a lot of punting, a lot of defense. I'm going to go Iowa here, just because Matt Campbell's never beat Iowa State. Well, Matt Campbell has never beat Iowa, like you said. So I'll take the Hawkeyes in this one. We also got our next pick. This one looks
interesting. Not Alabama Mercer, is it?
If Mercer beats Alabama,
crown them national champions.
Yeah, just cancel the season. I got Texas A&M Colorado. That's a decent midday game. Who you got there, Cass?
The Aggies.
Yeah, I got the Aggies. Texas versus Arkansas, 7 o'clock, 15 Texas. They're getting a little preview of what the SEC is going to look like versus Arkansas. Texas, 6.5-point favorite. I got the Razorbacks.
You got the Razorbacks all out?
I got the Razorbacks, absolutely. This is in the home game for Arkansas. Arkansas looked pretty good last year, I'm not going to lie. I think they're building something.
I think Arkansas covers, but they lose.
Interesting. I could see that. Going forward, we got some really good night games. Like I was kind of talking to you pre-show about.
Pre-show,
same thing. It is pre-game. There's no football on just yet, so it is pre-game. We got 10:15 kickoff. This might honestly be other than Ohio State game, the Iowa State game. This might be the best game of the weekend. Number 21, Utah versus unranked BYU. This is a rivalry game. It's the Mormon rivalry. Who you got, Cass?
I got the Utes big.
Utes. Yeah, it's – I'm also going to go to Utes here because BYU, they're just replacing so many guys from last year. Zach Wilson, all the receivers. I agree. Give me the Utes. I like that pick.
And this one's kind of intriguing. Kansas, Coastal Carolina.
That is. You know, I wanted to talk about that one. That one has kind of become a pseudo rivalry because I believe – and now it's like kind of – because Coastal Carolina, before they were, you know, the Mullets, before they were good, Kansas always used to kind of schedule them. And Coastal Carolina usually beat them badly too a lot. Now it's a front – Friday game.
I still like Coastal Carolina, but
oh yeah. I mean, it's absolutely give me Coastal just because Kansas beat South Dakota by 3 points. I think Coastal beats the brakes off them, to be honest. That's gonna be a fun one though Friday night to get us warmed up into the weekend for sure.
Yeah. That's all we got.
Yeah, that's it. And I apologize. Don't complain at us for these picks. Complain to the schedule makers. They got to do a better job.
And I think it's because the NFL's this week.
Yeah, Absolutely, yeah. NFL's on Thursday, and they
real quick. Let's run down some NFL games real quick.
Oh, I'm ready. Yeah, this is big football week. Let's just do Browns Bengals, and then we'll do the game tomorrow night, I guess.
Oh, I'm taking Buccaneers all the way. But
yeah, Bucks, absolutely Bucks. Who do you got? Vikings Bengals. Who you got, Cass? 3-point spread.
Even the Bengals.
I like the Bengals as well.
I'm a Bengals fan.
I know you do. I don't think the Vikings are going to be that good. They somehow always, you know, somehow like they're always sneaking into a wild card spot or something. But I just don't think the Vikings are good. I think the Bengals will be decent. Our favorite coach, Zach Taylor, has them on the rise.
Don't get me started with that.
And we got obviously the big one, 4:25 Sunday.
Why this game isn't the 8 o'clock game? I don't know why, but I like the Chiefs just because it's at home, and I think the Browns will be good, but I still think they're a little bit overhyped. That's just my opinion.
Your hatred blinds you, my friend. Give me the Brownies. Give me the Brownies.
I think the Chiefs got better up front.
They did, but the Browns got Jadeveon Clowney. They got better on defense, I would say.
Playing Pat Mahomes.
They get Odell back. I think the Browns.
They played better without Odell,
I guess. But this is a revenge game for the Browns, man.
I hate the Browns.
Your hateness blinds you. Your hatred blinds you.
But it's not blinding me. It's the fact that Brown fans irk me so bad because they act like they weren't just 0-16 a couple years ago.
I mean, you can't disagree with that logic.
I mean, until they won a playoff game, but until they get to the Super Bowl, I'm always going to hate. I'm always going to hate.
That's fine.
I still don't think they're going to get to the Super Bowl. I'm sorry.
Well, that's a whole different thing.
Jadeveon Clowney is a lazy player. Why do you think it took the Browns so long to sign him?
Because he didn't want to play in training camp, probably. I don't know.
You can't bet against Pat Mahomes. I'm sorry. They got to get the running backs healthy, wide receivers healthy, Travis Kelce. Yeah, Chiefs are the real deal.
The Browns might have a really good defense, though, because they got, obviously, JOK, Jeremiah Oku, the Jock, whatever, JOK, the dude from Notre Dame. He's good. And then they got the dude from Northwestern, who's now starting at corner. He's apparently supposed to be really good. And then I think they did. I think that they did beef up the defensive line a little bit. I think the Browns are going to be really stout on defense this year. Moss, it might be a top five unit.
Well, I'm not denying that. I'm just saying it's Pat Mahomes.
And we'll see.
Your hatred is blinding you, Denver Bronco fan.
Oh, he got me. Very good, very good, very good reversal of the Uno card right there. Broncos at Giants, while we're at it. Broncos, 3.5-point favorites.
How are they the favorite?
Because it's the New York Giants. They're terrible. Give me the Broncos. Give me the Broncos. Give me the big.
Give me the Giants.
Your hateness blinds you.
I just think the Giants will be a little bit better. Who wins that division this year?
Jesus.
If Washington had a quarterback, they would run away with that division.
Why wouldn't they just trade for Gardner Minshew? Or like,
it's because the Eagles did.
Yeah, the Eagles literally made sure. They're like, no, you're not getting him.
And does Jacksonville beat Houston this week?
That is going to be the worst game. Jacksonville will beat Houston. But
does Urban Meyer last the whole year?
He will not. He will be back on Big New Kickoff. I think Big New Kickoff, after a few weeks of Bob Stoops, they're going to go back to the Meyer residence and offer Meyer double what he's getting right now with Jacksonville. They're going to be like, we got to let Bob go. We need you back, Urban.
How about you guys just swap?
Yeah, just swap. They're going to trade Bob Stoops to the Jaguars to get Urban back on TV.
For Urban Meyer and a case of Buckeyes. The chocolate-covered peanut butter.
Hey, we're going to get – yeah, it's going to be – it's. The one thing I love about Urban, though, he's just bringing in all his former players. Like, he brought in Carlos Hyde. He brought in Devin Smith. He brought in Tebow. He's just bringing in all – like, we're going to see him
start – But he also cut Tebow.
I know. Well, that's one thing. Like,
well,
like,
hey.
This is going to reach its culmination when Tuff Borland's starting in Week 16 for the Jaguars.
But who is Tuff Borland playing for now?
I believe he was on the Vikings. I don't know. I do not. I would be shocked if he made the roster, which goes back to my point. Give me the Bengals week one. If he did make the, yep, he's still on the practice squad of the Vikings. So that's all I got to say about that pick. But this is going to reach its culmination with JT Barrett starting at tight end week 16 for the Jaguars. Tuff Borland at middle linebacker.
Tight end, you mean they're short running backs. I mean, they have Carlos Hyde, and that's about it. Like, they get James Robinson. James Robinson goes down, you got to call Braxton Miller to run.
They're just going to –
Marvin Jones goes down, you got to call – you gotta
Jalen
call
Marshall.
Miller. You got to go call Braxton Miller.
I love it.
I mean, if – hey, the Bengals are starting Eli Apple this week, okay? Come on. So we got Von Bell and Eli Apple, two fourths of the national championship defense.
Eli Island Apple just locked down corner
against Justin Jefferson, baby. Fantasy football. Bengals win 42-35.
He's gonna absolutely get torched by Justin Jefferson. It's gonna be bad.
I hope so, because I have Justin Jefferson on fantasy.
That's a safe pick. I don't know. It's gonna be a good weekend of football. Not a great college weekend outside the Ohio State game, but we got some NFLs back, so I'm psyched, man. Any final thoughts before I hit the finish button here?
Go Bucks! Enjoy the shoe if you're going. Come say hi to me if I'm on the set. Come say hi to me at Big Noon Kickoff.
Absolutely. For me, just as always, thank you for listening to the Bunch of Nuts podcast. And let's go duck hunting and let's go Bucks beat the Ducks.
And go Bengals over the Vikings.
Really?
I'm just kidding. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.